Happy holidays and happy new year, everyone. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations we've had this last year in regards to the Delphi murder case and the charges against Richard Allen. Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our week in review over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring clinical and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston.
Delphi murder investigation continues on. Richard Allen, of course, the suspect. Lots of controversy over his even being accused in this case. Seemingly not a lot of evidence there, but in fact, still in custody, going to be going to trial, and is in prison at this moment in time. And that's where all of the allegations begin to come in of Odinist ties to the crime scene and possibly also to intimidation of Richard Allen. The courts are hearing these arguments now. Joining me to discuss all this, Joni Johnston. Joni, when we're talking about something as fantastical as a Odinistic child-killing cult that really has no history whatsoever in any crimes ever, and then to throw that into this mix as a defense of Richard Allen, what are they doing? Because if this doesn't pan out to be factual or have anything behind it, if Richard Allen is innocent, was this just a really bad road to go down in terms of defending him?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that the opinion about that is changing. And, yeah. And I think one of the things that really changed that, Tony, was this revelation that there were a couple of, you know, custody officers who were actually wearing badges.
Yes.
On their uniforms. And I have to say, I worked in a maximum security prison for a couple of years, and I literally did not believe that. Mm-hmm. When I first heard those allegations. And I have several friends of mine who are, you know, former law enforcement officers who said the same thing.
Sure.
You know, if you're a custody officer, you do not wear anything like that. Any kind of religious, any kind of affiliation, it's part of, you know, that's just not, because you want, obviously, the inmates to feel like you're neutral.
Sure.
Like you're not going in there with a certain religion. And so the fact that was confirmed, I think, was amazing, astounding to me. Now, what that means in terms of this overall theory, I think there's a huge gap mm-hmm. between, yes, people were allowed to wear badges, you know, and now they're not. We've changed that.
Sure.
And yes, they may have worn some Odinite badges or whatever. That does not mean there is an Odinist sex killing, like you said, child sex killing cult or
yes.
whatever, child
yeah.
killing cult going yeah. on. But I do think the fact that they have shown that some things that I think most people would not believe were in fact true. The other thing that I think it does is, you know, if you're looking for reasonable doubt, one of the things that's puzzled me as a forensic psychologist is this whole issue of his confession, mm-hmm. which we have not seen any details about. So we don't know the context. And when I was asked about that initially, I thought, you know, it's very confusing to me if this person is innocent, because when you look at false confessions or coerced confessions, they tend to happen in a couple of different situations. One, either you're trying to protect somebody in a false confession, so you confess voluntarily, or more likely, you are coerced in some way. So you've been, you know, being grilled for 12 hours and you haven't had water and food and you're desperate or whatever, and you kind of break down and you confess to investigators, right? All these scenarios typically occur to investigators. Why would you confess to your mom or to your wife falsely? Which is, well, then, you know, I could not think of any explanation for that.
Yeah.
And then when you have the defense all of a sudden alleging that, yes, he was coerced, mm-hmm. but in a different way. The way he was coerced is not that he was, you know, being interrogated over and over again for hours and hours, but his family was threatened. Mm-hmm. Now, again, whether that's true or not, it is credible
yeah.
in terms of it is possible. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's so much missing information. I mean, I haven't seen the confession. I don't want to know what it said, what was the context, et cetera, et cetera. But when I heard that, I thought, again, whether that's true or not, as somebody who evaluates, you know, inmates and does those kinds of evaluations, it is something that I would think, yes, that would be a credible explanation or a possible explanation. So from what we know so far, I think this kind of, you know, almost conspiracy theory has gained more traction than I think many people would have ever believed.
I think one of the big questions that I know I have about that allegation of the intimidation is, okay, it seems credible to a certain extent. It seems like this could happen. I think it's about going in and looking at it from the prism of all different directions. Could it be that someone committed these murders and now they're trying to pressure someone into making a confession? Sure, but it doesn't always have to be that these guards or these Odinists were in fact the murderers. I could see this being something to the effect of a very zealous individual or guards that, you know, they're very passionate about this. It's happened in their community. It's two little girls that were brutally murdered. And if they think they have the suspect in custody, whether he is guilty or not, if they're assuming and they've already crossed that line and checked that box that, yeah, he is guilty and they believe it in their minds and he's not yet confessed to it, was this a case more of these guards putting the law into their own hands and trying to get that confession out of him, not because they were the ones that did the killing, but because they just really want to see Richard Allen burn because they believe he, in fact, is the killer?
Absolutely. So I absolutely think you're right. I think what I was saying, and I think we're talking about the same thing, is not so much that this is evidence that this was an Odinite ritual sacrificing. I have a very difficult time believing it has anything to do with Odinism in terms of the motive for these murders. I just, to me, everything about, you know, the murders and what we know about the crime scene is there was a sexual motivation to this killing. I don't see anything that screams ritual sacrifice. Maybe it's a cover. I don't know what all the sticks and the runes and all that, you know, the ledge means. Yeah. I think it's going to be like looking at a Rorschach, you know, when the jury sees this, in terms of you can see whatever you want to see, probably in terms of the sticks, and make whatever you want to out of it. So you're absolutely right. There is a huge gap between saying, yes, there could have been people at this prison who were coercing him in a different kind of a way than interrogating him for hours or whatever. It does not mean that those people are the ones who are the murderers or involved in it.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.